Praise the Lord. Looking at Job chapter 38, one of the probably the misunderstood books in the Bible, especially for Job when his friends come along and told him and gave him a lot of comfort, which was actually the opposite, didn't comfort him at all. But Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Wherefore were you, where were you?" I'll not read the whole of it because I want to just talk about the God that revealed himself to Job. Job had gone through quite a time, a testing time, and actually it was because he actually loved the Lord and kept and endeavored to try and keep his relationship right with God. And we see, but we see from this scripture, God reveals to Job his omnipotent power. He reveals to Job, and this is the God we serve. This is the one that the one I'm going to talk about, the one that we honor and we serve. God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Where does he speak to you out of? Speaks to me from the Bible, from the words that are spoken from the platform, and other ways, encouragement from other Christians. But God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. He must have had, made a fair old voice to speak out of the whirlwind, because the whirlwind, as far as I know, because I've never seen a whirlwind, to be honest, but I understand they make quite a noise. But God speaks to us, and he speaks to you, and he says, he spoke in verse 3, he says, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Sometimes God questions us and expects us to give him the answers. We'll see that Job, questions that was asked of Job by the Lord at this time, showing to him his omnipotence, showing to him his almighty power. So I believe sometimes we don't realize how powerful our God is. We're not aware of his ability to do things that are far beyond our comprehension, because we're human. We can only see so far, but God sees the end from the beginning. And he says, God was about to question Job, and he expected him to answer. God wanted an answer to the questions that he put to Job, and I believe he does the same for us. He wants us to answer the questions he puts into our lives and speaks to us. And the first question he asked in verse 4, he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Now I've thought, well, where are the foundations of the earth? Where are they? There isn't any. If I look for the foundation of this building, all I do is go outside, dig a hole, go so far down, and I will see them. But where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? It occurred to me that God lays foundations that are different to what we do. He puts foundations in our lives that only he can do. And he says, he asked Job this question, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have an understanding." Well, I said to the Lord when I looked at this word and it jumped off the page at me, I said, "Well, I haven't got an answer to that." Because our world doesn't have a foundation. A foundation is something you build upon. But God, in his foundation, the earth has no foundations like we know a foundation to be. That means, because you don't put a skyscraper on a shed foundation. You make sure the foundation is able to protect the building, and we've got the future extension. The foundation will be the most important part of that building, because on that it relies upon the strength. So when God asked him this, Job didn't have an answer. He said, "The foundations of the earth, And I thought, well, has the earth got foundation? Not like we know. It spins, doesn't it? And if it didn't spin, and we didn't move it the rate it was moving, we would be in trouble. If it was a few degrees one way, we could freeze to death. If it was 2 degrees, 2 or 3 degrees the other way, we'd fry to death. But it's just right. Whatever God's done, he made it just right. And I can remember the full eclipse of I've ever seen it once, and I was at Chesterfield at the time, stood on the marketplace, and suddenly the full eclipse went, and the temperature dropped like a stone. Just for those few seconds. In fact, it was probably only a second, but once the sun was shut off from shining upon the earth, the temperature went down like a... It just felt so cold, so eerie, so unnatural. But God's way of forming foundations are different to what ours is. So he said to him, come on, have you got understanding, Job, on what this happened? I said to one of the girls that I talked to about the Bible, she says, I want your notes when you finish tonight. I said, well, you can have them because I shan't use them again. But she said, I said to her, where's the foundation of the earth? She said, it's God, isn't it? What a revelation she had. It was God who had the foundation. The foundations of the earth are in the hands of the Lord. He puts it there. And I felt, what an awesome God we've got. One who builds something, makes something, not like we would do, but he produces an orb, and every star in our galaxy has its area to be. Every star is you can always rely on it. That's why the old sailors, they used to negotiate or used to go across the world by navigating by the stars, because they were always in that place. And God has done that with our earth. So Job thought about it, but he had no answer. He had no understanding what it would mean, because he could tell it in what foundations we have, the things we build, but we can't, I don't believe we can start to comprehend or understand fully what the foundations that God, so he made foundations. Tell me if you have an understanding. But Job had no answer to that question. That was the first question God asked him. And where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Verse 5, he said, who determines its measurements? Surely you know. But God determines the measurements. God determines how big or how small it's going to be. And our earth is just right. If it was any different, any bigger or any smaller, it would be, but God laid the measurements. Who stretched out the line upon it? There are scriptures where it says the men out with the measuring line. But God has said to Job, who stretched out the line upon it? Who made it that it was going to be the dimensions it is? And so Job was puzzled. I was puzzled, to be honest with you. When I read this, I was thinking, where is the foundation? Where is it? I looked at scripture, and it talks about foundation, talks about things in this realm, but I've not found an answer to exactly where the foundations of the earth are. It's got to be God. It's got to be in the hands of the Lord. That's all. In Jesus Christ our Lord. So the foundation is based upon the Lord himself and not upon what we think. Who determined its measurement? Surely, or who stretched the line upon it? Who made sure it was the size it is? Who made sure it was in the right place? Who, God himself did it. And the foundations in our lives have got to be the foundation that God's put there. If we will let him put our foundations, we will find that they won't be like what we would do. They won't be the way we would build. We would put the foundations on, but the foundations will be what God has done, and his work will be completed. Verse 6 says, where were its foundations fastened? I looked at that and I thought, where's the foundations of the earth fastened? We're not. We stay in our orbit exactly in the right place at the right, and things happen, and you can be assured that the measurements that God has put there, he's brought about, and he laid the foundation. Who laid its cornerstone? Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but who laid the cornerstone from the earth? Because the cornerstone is the most important piece of the building. From there you get all your measurements. I can remember when we were building the church at Rossington, we had to put it on a raft, but we had to make sure that one end of the when we started the build, that was where all the measurements were going to come from. And that the cornerstone, it was one a cornerstone, but it was a corner that we used to make all the measurements right. So the building would be built as correctly to the measurements and to the dimensions that he laid down. And God is that important stone. It said, who shut, verse 8 says, who shut the sea in with a door? There's limits. God's given limits to how far things can go. He says the oceans, they go down one way and they come up somewhere, another part of the world, they come up. We have tides, which you can be sure that the high tides will be exactly to that time. No subots. There's no thinking, oh, it might be. God determines. And the man, as the reason we've had some of the kind of conditions that we've had, especially in the Far East around Japan and that, is due to the activity of man when they've been doing things in the ocean depths, which has caused things to happen which God did not intend to be so. So we see that verse 8 says this, or who shut the sea in with its doors? When it burst forth as if it came from a womb, when I made the clouds its garment, thick darkness its swaddling bands, when I fixed my limits for it and set bars and doors, when I said, thus far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. God says that to us. Thus far, I remember 2022, God gave me a promise in the beginning of 22 that it would be thus far and no further. And I got to the end, right to the end of 22, and I thought, I've made it. I haven't been in hospital all this year. And then bang, it hit me like a blow. I never thought, I thought 11 and a half hours of Saturday and Eve, New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. But God set limits of how far it can go. I can remember when I had an operation in about 2006, I got cellulitis in 25% of my body, and the consultant drew a line on my body and said, if it goes outside that limit, I want to know immediately. But God, when the consultant said to me later on that week, we are fortunate that the antibodies or antibiotics caught the infection in time. And God whispered in my ear, I determine how far. And I determine what's going to happen. And this God who's able to do things that we can't even comprehend, can't even think, is the God that we serve. It's the one that we put our trust in. The one that is always there. And he says to you and he says to me, thus far and no further. The enemy can do what he wants, but he can't go beyond what God said. Job was a proof of that. When God said to the enemy, "What do you think of my servant Job? There's nobody like him in all the earth." "Oh, well, he's like that because of what you protect him. Take your protection down." And he did. God dropped the protection, and Job went through a time of trial. But no way did ever he ever blame God. He kept his integrity. Even to the fact that when the devil went a further step and took him into being, his body was giving him real problems. Listen, God has got all things in control. He's got all things in hand, ready to do what we need at that time. So Job, though he was asked the questions of the Lord and said, "Give me an answer," we don't find anywhere at all during those first 8 verses or 11 verses where he gave God an answer. He didn't know. And there are lots of things we don't know about our God, lots of things we don't understand, some things we go through that we think to ourselves, just what is happening? But the God we serve, this is the one who has the power, our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us and cares for us. He has the power to deal with every situation that we go through. And he says, thus far and no further, he says that you don't understand. Fine. Don't try and understand it. Just trust me through it. And as we trust him through it, he dictates what we go through. His tests are allowed to make us more, because he wants to make us more like Jesus. Our lives are in his hands, and he dictates what we go through. Job was not punished, but he was tested. Don't think the testings of the Lord are a punishment. They're not. They're there to see you what you will do in certain situations, and say to the Lord, in those situations, come to the point where you say, "Well, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust you." Pastor spoke, I think it was last week, on keeping your eyes upon Jesus. In all the things that he did, in all the things he went through, Job never once blamed God. His wife said to him, "Curse God and die," because she was fed up with him being so ill. But he said, "Why? Why do that? When God does good things for us, we rejoice. When he takes us through tests, we should rejoice, because he's testing us not to break us, but to make us." Job passed the test, and he received the reward. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." One of my favorite verses of late has been Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. I like to read it as it is, because you can easily misquote it, can't you? Romans 8:29 says this: "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren." For him who he knows you. God said to Job, "The foundation, where are the foundations fixed? Where were you when I fixed the foundations of the world?" The scripture goes on to tell us that before the foundations of the world, he knew us. How did he do that? I don't know. But all I do know is that all my life, I can trace back when I went through situations I didn't understand, that God has said, "Thus far and no further." There's a limit on what he will allow you to go through. Not because he doesn't care for you. Of course he cares for you. And as we cast our care upon him, our lives are in his hands. And he dictates what we go through. His tests are allowed, because he wants to make us more like Jesus. It says that he wants to conform us to the image of his Son. I often say, I want to be more like Jesus. And I want to get more and more like him, so when I get to heaven, the transformation won't have to be as great. But quite frankly, it's going to have to be a great transformation. Thank you. I nearly get my teeth around that one. But that transformation is there not to break you. See your God working on your behalf, showing you his power and his glory. We can't understand it all. I can't, you can't understand the enormous power that our God has. But he holds all things in his hands. And all things are placed in the way he wants them to be. The foundation of our world is, I can't see it, but he's set it up to be there for us. Job wasn't punished, but was tested. He passed the test. And for whom he foreknew, he knew you. I can remember when I was born, 2¼ pounds, no chance. Name him quick, because he won't last. When I was during the wartime, I actually stood as a doodle bug, passed about 10 feet off the ground, passed me and my brothers. We were coming from playing in a disused brickyard. And the doodle bug went down into that brickyard. If we'd have been down there, we'd have died. If it had landed 10 feet earlier, when we come up we were going back to the shelter, we'd have not been there. But God's hand, and the same for you, if you look back through your life, God's hand is there for you, working out his purposes, bringing about those things which will make you more like Jesus, his son. That's the God that we've got. And as we look unto the Lord, I was told to be quick. We would look unto the Lord and be among those who are being conformed to the image of his son. We've got a long way to go. We've much areas to pass through. Tests that we don't often like. But God's not doing it to break you. He's doing it to make you more like Jesus. And as we think of the one who has called you and the power he has at his disposal and what he has already done, I'll stand before you as amazed. I was amazed. Someone again today rang me from the hospital talking about what I'm doing, what's happening. She's going to be ringing me every fortnight. She's I think she's a district nurse or something like that. But she's going to be, her job is to keep me in touch with me to make sure I'm okay. But I've got someone else in greater than her looking after me and keeping in touch with me on a daily basis. It's essential that we keep our hearts in tune with the Lord himself, and that we might do those things that will bring glory and honor unto his name. As you think of the one who has called you and the power he has to do with what he's already done, what he's already prepared for you, prepared for me, we can only say one thing. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's able to do far exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his riches in glory. He wants to release those riches to you. He wants those riches to come into your life and challenge you, and as they take you through the situations that you go through, to bring you into a place where he is glorified. He's uplifted. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And as we lift God up, as we lift the Lord up in our lives, so he'll use us to bring about his salvation, his kingdom. It will be brought in, his will be done. You will come to the realization that there's nothing too hard for our God to do. Let's trust him. As we do, let's see him working on our behalf. Amen.
Amen. You know, when you ask that question about the foundations of the earth, suddenly something just hit me down there. And I remember reading somewhere many years ago that, and I don't know if this is absolute, but it's something to dig into, that Job was actually involved in building pyramids. And so if Job had the ability as a builder, an architect or whatever, I can see why God said to him, and where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And it, you know, with Job, it would resonate something within his spirit that, oh, I understand about foundations. I understand about the principles of foundations, and I've laid foundations and been involved in building these pyramids, etc. And so when God asked him that question, he knew what God was meaning. He knew that there were deeper things involved in the foundations of the earth. They weren't, the foundations of the earth weren't resting on anything other than God himself. You know, he holds everything in his hand. And he forms everything in his hand. You know, he spoke the cosmos into being. And it's still expanding and still growing. And God is at work still. And you know, God in us is still expanding and still growing. Do you believe that? You know, he's still changing us, he's still forming us, he's still making us. Some of us have travelled a little bit longer than others, but we're still on the same, in the same process. We might be further down the line, but we're still in the same process, dear. And you know, you might, being a fairly new Christian, you might turn around and say, well, it's all right for you, you've been going at it a long time, don't believe it, because God is still working on us. And you know, when we've been might of journeying a long time, and we think, wow, we're doing really well, and then God says, oh, by the way, we need to look at this again. What? But I thought we dealt with that. We had, but you've not let all of it go, and there are things that he needs to work on still, and processes that he needs to work on. And the enemy will attack us, try to knock us down and to bring us down and to bring back the old ways of the old man. You know, but God has delivered it from the old ways, from the old man. He set us free. And we need to keep continually living in that freedom and reminding ourselves that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we need to live in that freedom. And that, yeah, and our cornerstone, that which is the part of the building where everything is set from. Everything, all the corners, the angles, the uprights, everything is set from that very cornerstone. There's one on the building out here. There's a cornerstone, and they usually write the date when it was set there, and that's where the building takes its structure and direction and form from. Well, we have a cornerstone. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. And he is the chief cornerstone, and our lives are set against that cornerstone. And as we align our lives with Christ, our building will stand. The enemy will not destroy it. We won't have leaning walls that are just going to fall over at the, you know, remember the old nursery rhyme, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, you know, but our house is built on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. And no matter how much huffing and no matter how much puffing the devil does, I've read the end of the book. We are still standing. We're still erect. We win. The buildings are still standing through the power and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be encouraged. Yeah, Job went through some challenges. God never ever told Job why he went through those situations. He never told him, oh, by the way, I've let the devil have a go at you. He never said that to him. But he made sure that Job had his eyes fixed and focused only on God. And I think that's another lesson to learn, that no matter when things are going, if things are going rough, and some of us, you know, we've had it rough at times, where's your gaze? Where is your focus? Strike onto Jesus. That's where we fix our gaze, on this Word of God. You know, Ken and I used to play tennis together often. Well, most of the time he used to beat me. But one of the things you have to remember about tennis is that if you take your eye off the ball, you'll miss it. He plays golf. They tell me the same thing. You've got to keep your eye on the ball if you're going to hit it. And so if you let your gaze be distracted onto something else, you'll miss Jesus. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He didn't say look at the circumstances, because we know when Peter was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. I mean, it's a bit of a daft question, really, when you analyze it. What if it wasn't Jesus? And he thought, well, I'll have a laugh here, you know. Come on then, you, whoever you are. Let's see you walk on water and watch him sink. But it was Jesus. And Peter recognized him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he said, come. And Jesus and Peter walked on that word, come. And then he got distracted. Just for a moment. The wind maybe blew a bit harder, or maybe the wave just splashed against his face, and he's like, I'm not in the right environment. I've stepped beyond. God wants you to step beyond. God wants you to step beyond in the realm of the Spirit to see things change, to see things happen. And Peter had stepped beyond. And you know, just as he thought he was going down, Jesus walked up to him and took his hand. And so many people preach about Jesus, about Peter sinking, but very few people preach about Peter walking back to the boat with Jesus. He didn't fail. When he put his eyes back on Jesus, he succeeded in what Jesus had called him to do, to walk on the water. And he walked on the water, and those in the boat missed that experience. Let me say this to you. Don't keep sitting in the boat. Let's step out onto some water. Let's step beyond our security. Let's step beyond our understandings. Let's step beyond what we know, in one sense, and let's trust God in the realm of the Spirit and step into a new dimension in God. Job went through circumstances that nobody else had gone through. And everybody preaches negatively about Job. Read the end of the book. He had a double portion. His children, he had twice as many children than his previous time when he'd lost all his children. God gave to him a double portion. He was richer than he was ever before. Why? He followed God. He trusted God. And he never denounced God. And as David said, his wife said to him, you old dog, she's probably said, why don't you just curse God and die? You're a miserable... You know, I mean, he was suffering, the guy. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a boil, but I know of people that have had a boil and they say they are extremely painful and etc. Well, he didn't just have one boil. He had boils upon boils. The guy must have been in absolute agony. You know, I mean, you'd have been probably wishing that you were dead. Yeah, you might be right, love. But he trusted God. God's going to take me through this. God's going to bring me out the other side, because I have a promise from God. Amen. And each and every one of you has a promise from God. Now hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Amen. You might say, well, Andrew, I've been holding on to it for a long time. Yeah, well, keep on. We held on to our promise for a building for 25 years. And as 25 years came up, basically to literally within days of the 25 years when we had the promise given to us, because it was somewhere at the end of October, November time. And this building came to us in December, 25 years later. God, I could have given up. I'd been close to giving up. That's not wrong. But we still have to keep looking back to him. the author and finisher of our faith, he who provides for us, he who will keep us in that day, and he will carry us through to that great and mighty day. He is our strength, he is our passion, he is our faith, he is our hope, he is everything that we have. Without him, I would have nothing. And I think for me, without him, I might have been dead by now. But I live and breathe because of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And like I was chatting with somebody the other day, and we sort of said, you know, God ain't finished with us yet.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We've got jobs to do. You've got jobs to do. And God will make time that you will finish the race.
Amen.
And you shall receive a crown of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Job received his blessings. Job received a double portion. God honored Job for his faithfulness. Be faithful to the work of God. Be faithful to the calling of God. Be faithful to the work of God. And push through and know that God is here for you. Where were you when the foundations were put down? You were in the bosom of God. That's where you were. He said, you know, there's a scripture that says, he knew you before the foundations of the world. So maybe Job should have said, well, I was with you, God, when you were doing it. That's where we were. We were in the bosom of God. We came from God. And through Jesus Christ, we go back to God. We belong to him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he belongs to us. And he's given us eternal life. And there's an eternity in front of us that I honestly, I don't know what's there, but I think it could be quite exciting. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
God has things, mighty things in the future. It don't just end at Revelation. That's when it begins. That's when it begins for those in Christ Jesus. The sons of God.
Amen.
That's our new beginning. When we become that connection as the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Glorious is he. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that has just challenged us. And Lord, we realize that the things that Job went through, Lord, and yet you were there constantly watching over him. Lord, you'd set boundaries that the enemy could not step beyond. He could not touch his life. His life belonged to you.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you this day that our lives belong to you and the enemy cannot take our lives. And Father, we're in your hands. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us will know your fullness and your blessing. And Lord, we will fulfill the plans that you have for us and fulfill the purposes, Lord, that you have created us for and saved us for and delivered us from the hand of the enemy. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.